So we begin a new study today, a new emphasis on spiritual gifts. And I wanted to start by sharing with you guys, talking about gifts, just showing you a few of the gifts that I received this Christmas. One, my in-laws got me, if you know my love for coffee mugs, I've talked about that before, right? Y'all are aware of that. You should see my cabinet at home. They brought, from their trip to Thailand, they brought me a Bangkok Starbucks coffee. I didn't know there was a Starbucks in Bangkok, but it's a very good mug. I enjoy that. Annie, y'all remember during COVID, we, on Wednesday nights, when we were just streaming, on Wednesday nights, I would hide a pineapple to see who could find it. Y'all remember that? It really kind of started as a joke, but then it was amazing how many people got into that, and it was a fun thing. And so Annie got me some pineapple socks for Christmas. I should have just worn them this morning. I know, I'm boring, sorry. But I got some pineapple socks, and this is for the other illustration, but it occurred to me that I also got this for Christmas. I got a flashlight. Mandy got me a flashlight, among other things, because I needed a flashlight. And, you know, the kids have been threatened with their lives if they take this one, I will hit them with it, because it's pretty sturdy. But that's my flashlight. And then she also got me a Mayberry puzzle book, crosswords and word searches, because I love Andy Griffith. Y'all know I love Andy Griffith. So all of these were given with intent. They were given and connected to something that I need, something that I love, that I enjoy doing. By family members, they put thought into it, right? And to be used for a specific purpose. The socks, the purpose, of course, is to cover your feet, to be silly too, right? But all of these have a purpose and to be used for enjoyment, for work, or, you know, for a specific need. I mean, all of them. And these are just a few of the gifts that I got this Christmas. But again, the point being that they were given by people who knew me well, and who gave a gift that matched something that I loved or something that I needed to be used for a specific purpose. Now, let me ask you a question. Who knows you better than Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? No one. He created you. And yes, God the Father, God created Jesus, we are told, as the agent of creation. I mean, the Trinity is eternal. And he created you, and he created you with intent, with a specific purpose in mind for your life, and he's given you gifts that match how he created you, fit who you are, and are to be used for his glory and for his kingdom and for the building of his church. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to discover what it means, what spiritual gifts mean. We're gonna ask some questions in this series that hopefully we will find the answers to. What are spiritual gifts? What do they mean? Where do they come from? What is my gift? How does God want to use that gift in this church and for his kingdom? These are all questions that we are going to explore. And we're going to go through this series in the morning, and then we're going to really dig into it on Sunday nights, into the meaning and what my gift means for me and what your gift means for you and how we are to work together to serve God using those gifts and abilities that he has given us. This series is called Equip 23. It is about equipping. The focus is on equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And the purpose, the goal in this series is to help individuals understand their gifts. Gift, notice I use plural because I added that because you will have at least one gift. Most people, if not all, have more than one gift. You may be dominant in one gift, but God gives multiple gifts, at least two or three usually, to be used for his glory. To help people understand their gifts and how God uses them both inside and outside the church. Because he has a purpose for both arenas, inside and outside the church. And the purpose of this series is both to help you discover your gifts and understand your gifts and your unique calling in the body of Christ, because you've been called to serve in a unique way in the body of Christ, and also to help us all appreciate working alongside others with like and different gifts, how God uses all of our gifts together to accomplish his purposes for his kingdom. And he weaves together this beautiful picture, this beautiful arrangement, group of individuals with different gifts to be used to accomplish the purpose that he's given us here at Wall Highway Baptist Church and every church. He weaves together people intentionally with different gifts to be used to fulfill the mission that he's given us. Studying spiritual gifts can help us see how God has not only equipped me, but how he's equipped the entire body of Christ to do his kingdom work. Ephesians 4 is where we're going to begin today. We're going to look at a few different passages, but we're going to start with Ephesians 4 this morning. And we're going to just read to begin with verses 7 and 8. It kind of lays the foundation for our Equip 23 emphasis for our spiritual gift study. Verse 7, now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. He's gifted us. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took captives captives and he gave gifts to people. He gives spiritual gifts to his people. But what does that mean? Well, we're going to explore that this morning by looking at truths about spiritual gifts. And truth number one is this. Spiritual gifts come from Christ. They come from Jesus. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us that after Jesus conquered sin and death, after he paid the price for our sins and died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, he was raised from the dead, conquering death as well. Then he ascended to heaven, and when he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to inhabit his people. Those of us who accept Christ, who receive the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. And when he does, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives, he empowers us to know him, to communicate with God through Christ, but also gives us spiritual gifts that come from God and can only be accessed, can only be experienced and used by the power of the Holy Spirit living in and through us. He gives us gifts, each follower of Christ. Let's look at verses 7 and 8 again of Ephesians 4. And by the way, he equips us with those gifts for his kingdom work, to fulfill his mission, the Great Commission, sharing the gospel around the world. Ephesians 4, verse 7 again. Now grace was given to each one of us, each one, according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, and he gave gifts to people. He sent the Holy Spirit gifted people. For what purpose? Well, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We're jumping to verse 12. He called pastors, teachers, apostles to do this purpose. To equip the saints. Well, the Holy Spirit equips you with his presence and his gifts for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, both in growth in numbers and in spiritual growth, maturity, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So the equipping of God's people, it's interesting because in the Holy Spirit's presence fulfills a promise that we see given back in the book of Joel. In the Old Testament, through the prophet Joel, God made this promise to send his Spirit to fill his people with his Spirit. Let's look at Joel 2:28. After this, I will pour out my Spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will have dreams, your young men will see visions. So this prophecy that we see in Joel of God promising to fill his people with his Spirit. Now think about it, the Old Testament, to be in the presence of God, you had to go into the tabernacle or the temple, the Holy of Holies, are in with Moses and the people of Israel in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory of God. You had to be in a certain place to experience the presence of God. And only the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies. It was limited access. But God did manifest his presence among his people. But you had to be in a certain place to experience that, right? Well, the promise, so in light of that, this promise is huge for his, for God's people. There will be a time when you won't have to go to a temple to experience God's presence. He is going to fill his people, all of his people, with his Holy Spirit. And this is the prophecy that Jesus has in mind when he promised his disciples that they would not only do the works that he did, they would do greater works than him when he left them to go back and be with the Father. Look at John 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. He will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that's the controlling element, in agreement with the character of Christ, the will of God, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So now put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a moment. They are actually in the physical presence of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he's telling them, I know you enjoy having me with you. Who wouldn't, right? But you're going to be better off when I leave. Imagine what's going through their minds. How could we pod the long-awaited Messiah, and you're telling us you're going to leave, how could we possibly be better off without you? But that's what he's saying, right? Hey, you're doing some incredible things now, but what you're going to experience when I leave is going to be even greater. Now, how is that possible? Well, the answer is in the fulfillment of that prophecy through Joel. And we see the fulfillment of that at Pentecost. Jesus speaks of this, of Pentecost, in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We see that promise fulfilled at Pentecost, and now whenever someone comes to Christ, they are filled with the presence of God in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, you have me with you in a physical sense now, but when I leave, when I die on the cross, when I pay the price for your sins and I ascend to heaven, I will send my Spirit, and you won't just have me with you, you'll have me in you and empowering you to do things that you could not do on your own. So this leads to a simple truth. It's better to have the Holy Spirit within you than it is to have Jesus physically beside you. Now, I'm not diminishing Jesus at all, okay? But y'all know those bumper stickers, God is my co-pilot? The idea is Jesus is in the passenger seat, a backseat driver or whatever. No, the presence of God is inside of every believer, empowering every believer with gifts that you do not have on your own and with strength that you cannot achieve on your own, resources that you cannot gather on your own to work for his glory and for his kingdom. And he puts us together, and the Holy Spirit is manifested, the presence of God is manifested in a unique and special way when God's people gather together in his name. He puts us together to fulfill a purpose that we could not even dream up on our own, much less accomplish on our own. The Holy Spirit living in and through us. It's Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit manifests his presence in the life of every believer. Peter, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Those present who accepted Christ were filled with the Spirit. And that same empowerment, that same presence, that same filling comes when every individual accepts Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The moment, not later, all right, with some specific sign, but when you ask Jesus into your life, when you surrender your life to Christ and accept the gift of salvation, at that instant, the Holy Spirit fills your life. And it begins a journey. You're justified at that moment. It begins a journey of sanctification, of learning who Jesus is, learning about him, learning to trust him more, becoming more like him. But he gifts you, when the Holy Spirit enters your life, the spiritual gift that he gives you enters your life. You may not understand it. You may not know it then. You may have been a Christian for 10 years and still not understand it or know it. That's why we're doing this, so that we can come to a better understanding. But he gifts you with a specific gift or gifts to be used for his kingdom and his glory to fulfill your unique calling. He's got a calling just for you, your unique purpose for your life. And that's the resurrection power. The power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus died, but also because he was raised from the dead, we now have his presence in us. Romans 8:11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, which he does if you're a Christian, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. Resurrection power is found in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is found in every believer. And here's the deal. Maybe you're a Christian and you're sitting there going, I just don't feel it. I don't get it. Well, here's where you need to check, okay? Because the amount or the measure in which you serve God effectively, experience the Holy Spirit, exercise the gifts that you've been given effectively, is directly related to how closely you're walking with Jesus Christ, your fellowship with him, your quiet time with him, your communion with him daily, your fellowship with other believers, connected to other believers, fulfilling God's purpose for his church, your life in that church. Your fellowship with Christ, the closeness of that fellowship will determine how effective you are at serving God and fulfilling the call that he's placed on your life. You cannot exercise your gifts apart from fellowship with Christ. And you can be a believer and be out of fellowship with Christ. So how close are we walking with the Lord? Are we pursuing him? 1 Corinthians 12:11 tells us, one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. The spiritual gifts are given to every believer according to God's purposes. We have to know him. We have to be in fellowship with him to discover and use those. But he determines what gifts we get. They come from Christ and he makes the decision. Our spiritual gifts never belong to us. All right, we're talking and we're going to use the language, my gift, okay, and that's okay because God gives us that gift. But the reality is, because they come from Christ and because it's him working through us, they're really not ours. Our gifts never belong to us. They are an expression of the Holy Spirit doing the Father's will, working through us to accomplish the Father's will. Now, that's important because understanding that they come from him, they are him, it's him working through us. We couldn't have them without him. Understanding and submitting to the truth that he chooses what gifts I get, and he has a purpose for my life that I can't accomplish without him. Understanding that should increase our dependence on him, and understanding that he's gifted me should increase my desire to know him and to love him and to grow in him. Understanding the truth that God has given us gifts should always move us to the worship of the one who gave us those gifts, not ourselves. We should be in awe that God would choose to inhabit us and to gift us to be used for his kingdom work. He is the Lord. He is Savior. He is King of Kings. And his Holy Spirit lives within us. And he is the head of his body, the church. He is the head of this church. So we should look to him and worship him, not only in song, which we do wonderfully, but through our lives. Everything that we do is an act of worship for his glory. Spiritual gifts come from Christ. Next truth, spiritual gifts are spiritual. That seems obvious, right? But no, think about it. What does that mean? Spiritual gifts are spiritual, which means they're not man-made. They're not physical. They're not something that I cooked up. And it's not something I'm born with. And here's where it's important to understand the difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities and talents. Because that's important. Both can be used and should be used for God's glory, but there is a difference. So let's look at spiritual gifts first. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer at their conversion. We've already covered that, right? The moment you're saved, the Spirit inhabits your life, and with that comes a spiritual gift. But that means you don't have it before you're saved, okay? Spiritual gifts are given at conversion to every believer to be used to minister to others and therefore build up the body of Christ and all that that encompasses, building up the body of Christ. So you are given a spiritual gift when you are saved. However, the use, the understanding, and the use of that gift is to be developed as you grow spiritually. A spiritual gift is a lot like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the more it grows, right? The stronger it gets. And the more I understand and the more I exercise that gift, the stronger I will become in that area, the more effective I will be at serving God and using that gift for His glory. But we need to understand that God doesn't lock us in tight to any one particular gift. Now, you're going to be gifted more strongly in one, two, or three different areas. We've asked you to fill out inventories, and it shows you your top three gifts, or gives you an idea. There are flaws with inventories, but it gives you a place to start. So there are multiple areas that you're going to be gifted. And one thing that I've learned is that we all usually have those top three, and depending on where I am in life, what I'm doing, how I'm serving, I could take that test, and one time teaching may be strong, but another time mercy may be stronger than the last time I took the test. And that's just because in that season of life, God is using that particular gift more than He did in other points in my life. And so it's important to understand that God doesn't lock us into tight restrictions on the number of gifts or even how those gifts are defined or used in our lives. We need to understand them, but the only way we truly understand them is by exercising them and experiencing the Holy Spirit working through us. And that's what's so hard about this, folks. I'm going to tell you, we've been working hard on these studies. By we, I mean Brother Robert, myself, the pastoral staff, I mean, and those who are leading the youth studies, Melody and Kirk. I mean, we've been working hard. And the reason this is so hard, because so much of this is dependent on our willingness and ability to be led by the Spirit. I mean, this is something, some of this you can't just put in a box and spell it out and define it. We can't understand a lot, but it depends on my relationship with God and my dependence on Him and my submission to Him, because He works on His timetable and His ways. But spiritual gifts are spiritual. So how does that differ from abilities? Well, abilities are the natural gifts with which you were born. Abilities are closely related to gifts, but they're not quite the same. But God has given us all abilities. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are different abilities. There are gifts, but there are different abilities to perform service. But the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. So what are abilities? Well, abilities are, again, the natural talents with which you were born. All of our abilities come from God. And in a similar way to spiritual gifts, they need to be used to serve God for His glory and for His kingdom. But the difference is you were born with the natural abilities you have. Spiritual gifts are given at conversion. There are abilities, there are gifts. Both are to be used for His glory. But two things, two truths about abilities to give us a better understanding of the difference. Every ability can be used for God's glory. Every ability He's given you, you can use to serve Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whatever I am, whatever I have, I should use for God's glory. That includes my abilities. God has a place for you to use not only your spiritual gifts, but your abilities in this church as well. And then second truth about abilities, what I'm able to do, God wants me to do. Whatever I'm able to do, God wants me to do for His glory, for His service. All right? Now, you're the only person in the world that can use your abilities and your gifts for God's glory. And they are different. There are gifts that I'm given at conversion. There are abilities that I'm given at birth. And here's the danger, okay? Abilities by themselves, if I just depend on my abilities, those are going to point to me. Abilities can be used for the glory of God, but it points to, I was born with that, right? So the attention is on me. Spiritual gifts, the focus and the attention is on Christ because He alone can give those gifts. They come from Him. But God wants to use both gifts and abilities for His glory. And what we find a lot of time is that your abilities are related to your gifts or complement your gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you. You know why? Because God's God. He knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He created you with intent, with purpose. And you discover more of the fullness of that purpose when you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit and exercise them in concert with the abilities you were born with. So God gives both. But spiritual gifts are spiritual, and they magnify the Lord. Now, I have reached a point in my life where I have been reminded in a new way that I'm getting older. And one of the ways is that I am now wearing glasses. I know that's not a big deal, but I've never had to wear glasses in my life. Went and saw David. David hooked me up. David Griggs. He got me fitted with glasses. My vision's been getting worse over about the past 3 years. Not only the close-up, but the far-off too. I can read the back screen for the first time probably since I've been here as your pastor. Clearly, I can read it. Which tells you how long I've needed. It's been, just been getting worse, and it got to the point to where the kids were terrified to ride with me in the car. Dad, please, please get glasses. We don't want to die. I mean, I was starting to hear things like that, which they're dramatic. It wasn't that bad. But let me tell you something that I notice. Trees have leaves. I had forgotten that. I can read the words on the back. And some of you, I want to take my glasses off because what? No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But I can see things that I could not see far away and close up. It magnifies the things that I could not see, and it sharpens the image of those things. It's amazing. And progressively, you don't really notice it, right? But then when you put those glasses on, you're like, wow, I can see clearly. And that's what our gifts should do. It magnifies the object of focus. It's not magnifying me. It's magnifying the object that I'm focused on. And my gifts and abilities, that's what they should do. Our focus is on Christ. And just like I can see clearly things that I haven't seen in a while, when I exercise my gifts, the focus, the attention is on Christ. And I see Him more clearly, and the people around me see Him more clearly. Because I'm honoring God through my service. Spiritual gifts are spiritual. They are also gifts of grace. Spiritual gifts are gifts of grace. We see that gifts are not just ordinary things humans do. Abilities would fall into that category. They can be used for God's glory, but gifts are not ordinary things that humans do. They are supernatural gifts of the Spirit, and they're given in grace. You cannot earn one. You don't pick your gift. There's nothing you can do to get a particular gift. They are given by God, by grace. He chooses, but they are gifts of grace. And when we are given these gifts, we are giving something that we do not earn and we do not deserve. It's a gift of grace. That's a lot like salvation itself, right? Can't earn salvation, can't work hard enough, be good enough. It's a gift of grace that I do not earn, I do not deserve, and gifts fall into that category. Now, real quickly, the Bible uses a couple of terms to help us understand that. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, the grace gifts, the term charismata is used. That's a plural term of grace, a plural form of the word grace. These are gifts of grace. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. Ephesians 4, 7, the singular, charis, grace. It means grace. And then in Ephesians 4, 8, the term domata, which means gift, a grace gift. They're gifts that we do not earn, we do not deserve. The reason this is important, the Bible uses these terms to make sure we understand that this is a grace, a gracious act of our Savior. Grace is receiving a gift that I don't deserve, don't earn. I didn't pay for, I didn't earn any of those gifts that I shared with you. And if I go based on merit, I probably don't deserve them. Maybe I do, I don't know. But I don't want to depend just on that. I don't know if I do deserve it. I don't know what pineapple socks say about what I deserve, but I love them. They're great. They're wonderful. But honestly, gifts are given, and we don't pay for them. They are grace. It is grace. The Bible's telling us that these gifts come out of God's heart of love and generosity. Salvation, that's salvation. Generosity, mercy, grace, the love of God, and the gifts on top of just saving us. He doesn't just spare us from punishment and death. He says, guess what? I'm going to bless you beyond that, and I'm going to gift you, and I'm going to gift you with these gifts to be used to build my kingdom. So when we think about spiritual gifts, we should view them not as something we can do, but as supernatural abilities given to us by God for His mission, for His glory. Not as something that we angle for or demand or try to achieve in our lives. And this is a reminder that serving God is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. We view it as a responsibility, as a duty, routine, an obligation. We didn't deserve these gifts. He didn't have to give us these gifts. This is not something that we do because we have to. We do it because God gives us the privilege in His grace to be used to build His kingdom and His church. He doesn't need us. He could do it all by Himself. But in His wisdom, in His grace, in His love and His mercy, He chooses to allow us to be a part of what He's doing in this world, to bring people out of death and hell, a destiny of toward hell, to life, forgiveness, and eternity with Him. Something we get to do, not something that we have to do. It's grace. Romans 12:3, Paul says, "For by grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one." So, and this should produce humility. How can I be proud about something that I could never do on my own? Spiritual gifts should not make us proud, should not make us arrogant. They should not separate us. They should glue us together, because none of us can do what we do for the glory of God without the Holy Spirit gifting us and empowering us. How can I be proud about something that I did not create, that I did not earn, that I do not deserve, that I only have by the grace of God? It should make us more dependent on God. It should result in us glorifying God even more, and again, magnifying Him for the world to see by using the gifts that He's given us. The next truth: spiritual gifts have a kingdom purpose. The Spirit equips us to do God's will, not our will. You cannot convince the Holy Spirit to do what He does not want to do. We've all tried, right? But it's impossible. Because God knows all, He sees all, and His plans, His will is perfect. The Holy Spirit always wants to do what the Father wants to do, perfect union. And so we can't convince Him to do anything outside of God the Father's will, which leads to an important point. If you are living, I've touched on this, but I'm going to hit it again. If you're living outside of the Father's will, and it is possible to do that as a believer, it is impossible to function according to any spiritual gift. You still have that gift, but you cannot use that gift effectively if you're not living inside of God's will. Because you have to be walking in fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. Because just the simple act of you disobeying God, walking outside of His will, is contradictory to His will, which means you're trying to convince the Spirit to do something that God doesn't want to do. And you cannot function healthily, in a healthy way, in an adequate, in an effective way, using your gifts. So we must remain dependent upon the Holy Spirit and in agreement with God's will. Now, we're all going to mess up. We're going to get it wrong from time to time. But I'm talking about willfully disobeying and living outside of God's will here. We must be walking in the Spirit in a close, intimate relationship with Christ, seeking the Lord, committing to following His will, daily surrendering to God and His will for my life. Jesus has given us gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can know Him more and be empowered to build His church and advance His kingdom. You know, we learn a lot about God's purposes and gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:7. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person, Paul says, for the common good. That phrase, a manifestation of the Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit reveals Himself and His activity in you, to you. Paul also said that the Holy Spirit would manifest Himself to each one. This means that no one is overlooked. We all receive the same Spirit. And He manifests Himself to each believer. If you've accepted Christ, then you've received the Holy Spirit. He will manifest Himself in your life. This is a personal relationship and a personal call that God is placing on your life and my life to join Him in His work. Let's look at Ephesians 4 again. Look at verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning or with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. We all work together, but there are purposes that we draw from this passage. If you want to know what the purposes of spiritual gifts are, here they are in summary. To equip people for God's work and mission. He gives us these gifts to equip us to fulfill His mission. They are for sanctification. As we exercise them, we grow in our faith, in our relationship with Christ. They are for unity. As we use our gifts together, we are further united as the body of Christ. The same Spirit working in and through us, we're united. And then for spiritual maturity. Sanctification, growing more like Christ, to be more like Christ. Spiritual maturity is part of that, but maturing in my relationship with Christ, in my Christ-likeness. Our gifts are not given for our glory, but for the glory of God. And we use our gifts to serve God and to serve others, to advance His kingdom, to build His church. You've been given a gift from God to fulfill the mission of the church. And when we see this image that Paul gives us of a body, a human body, and the different parts working together, functioning as it should, we get this picture of the body of Christ with different gifts, different abilities, God in His wisdom placing those different people together for a specific purpose, a calling, a mission that He's given this church that does its part in fulfilling the overall kingdom mission, the Great Commission of bringing a lost world into a saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a kingdom worldwide mission, and we have a part in it. And then in the process, we are growing, fending off false doctrine, false teaching. We are not fooled by anything false that would lead us away from Christ. We stay on mission. We stay on focus of Jesus Christ and what He's called us to do. And what we see leads us to the final truth, and that's that spiritual gifts unify the church. Another thing we see in 1 Corinthians 12:7 is that the Spirit gives these gifts for the profit of all. And there's a corporate dimension to everything. Hear this, okay? There are no Lone Ranger Christians. You can try it, but you'll fail. There is a corporate dimension to everything that God does in your life. Everything. Relationship with Him. The Trinity itself has a corporate dimension, right? And a relationship with His people in His church. That's His design, His plan for accomplishing His kingdom purposes, the church. The Holy Spirit will always seek to build the unity of the body of Christ, and that unity is near and dear to the heart of God. When we hurt the church, we hurt his bride. And I can think of nothing that would make me angrier than for someone to hurt my bride. The unity of his bride, his body, is precious to the heart of God. And one of the reasons he gifts us these gifts, gives them to us, is to be used for his kingdom purpose, but also in doing that, in his perfect, miraculous design, it unifies his body. Because we're focused on him and we're focused on serving and we're not focused on ourselves and what we want or what we'd rather have or what we don't like. We're focused on pleasing God and serving others. We are loving what he loves. When Christians serve and utilize their spiritual gifts, it will create joy, unity, and spiritual growth in the church. You know, it's easy to think about using spiritual gifts as, you know, creating numerical growth, and that will happen. And that's part of it. It's part of building the church. But really, what we need to think about is, and that's worth celebrating, by the way. But Paul shows us in Ephesians 4 that there's another outcome. Verse 16 again. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love, by the power working, the proper working of each individual part. Spiritual maturity and growth, knowing our Savior, fulfilling his purpose, a healthy church with members exercising their gifts, not for their own glory, but for the glory of God, the building up of his church, and for the mission of sharing Christ in the world, will be identified by love and maturity. Love for each other, love for Christ, and love for the lost, and a desire to see them come to Christ. Another way to look at this, and we did a whole series on this, another way to look at this is that exercising our gifts together corporately for his glory, for his kingdom, for his purposes, will produce spiritual fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That will be the result of using our gifts and growing in Christ corporately. Because what happens when we have unity in the body, we are using our gifts, serving the Lord corporately together, magnifying him, what happens is that we reflect Jesus and his character to the world, which means we display the fruits of the Spirit. Now, let me illustrate that for you. Gracie's going to help me, all right? I'm going to use one of my Christmas presents, the flashlight, or Gracie's going to use it. Okay, I'm allowing you to touch my flashlight. You got to give it back, okay? That's the problem. These things disappear in my house, and I blame the kids. I don't know if they're responsible, but they get the blame. All right, so I've got a mirror here. I stole this from Mandy, so I've got to put it back when I get home. All right, we're going to bring the lights down. And here's the thing about flashlights. Do you trust me not to shine it in your eyes? No. You can. She knows me well. I'm going to try not to, okay? So you can use a flashlight to shine on something and bring light to whatever you're looking at. But what happens when you shine a flashlight? Don't shine it in my eyes. Maybe I should be asking you if I should trust you. What happens when you shine a flashlight in a mirror? Check that out here. It reflects the light, right? That's pretty cool. I could do this for a while. But you can see, here, move around that way a little bit. Let's see everybody. Okay, that's my eyes. All right. You can see the light reflected, right? And depending on the mirror, depending on the power of the light, you can see it clearly. But I'm reflecting the light that's being shined in the mirror. All right, Gracie, that's great. But that's what spiritual gifts do, folks. That's what they should do. When the Holy Spirit shines his light in my life, the result should be that I'm like a mirror. I'm reflecting the light of Christ to everyone for the whole world to see. They may not recognize what it is, but they're going to know it's different, and they're going to know that they want it. Because they're going to see that we are different, that our love is different, that our passion for life, for each other, for the Lord is different. They're going to see that we are living for something that's greater than ourselves. And they're going to see that we love differently. And they're going to want that. And we're going to have the opportunity to share that with them and to show them how to get that. Spiritual gifts build, glorify God and build His church and increase our faith and increase our growth. That is my desire. That is your past, all of your pastors. That is our sincere desire for you. Not so that we can become a huge, large church. If that happens, great. If not, that's up to God. But so that you can discover what God put you here on this planet for. And you can discover the joy of knowing Him intimately in a relationship with Him. And you can discover the joy of unity on a level that we've never experienced before in the body of Christ. And so that we can all discover the Holy Spirit working through us to accomplish things that can only be described by the power of God, where He gets all the glory, all the honor, and we can all experience the joy of receiving a "well done, my good and faithful servant" when we see Him face to face. Let's pray together. Father, as I reflect on what we've experienced through Your Spirit this morning, the word grace just overwhelms me. It is only by grace that we are saved. It is only by grace that we are alive and breathing today. What we deserved is to be annihilated for our disobedience. You could have just wiped us all off the face of the earth and been justified in doing that. But no, God, because of who You are, because it brings glory to Your name, because of Your love, because of mercy, Your character, these attributes are who You are, not just emotions and things that You show. It is who You are. You are grace. You are mercy. You are love. And when we experience Your love, it is grace and mercy are the ways that we experience that. And because of that, You make it possible for us to know You personally. Jesus, You died for our sins. That's grace and mercy. We're not receiving the punishment that we deserve. You were raised from the dead. That's grace. We cannot conquer death on our own. You do it for us through our faith in You and the salvation that You provide. We have victory over death. Grace. You gift us with the presence of Your Holy Spirit. Grace. You gift us with supernatural abilities. Your Spirit working through us to be used for Your glory and Your purpose. Grace. You create us. We are born with abilities that You give us to be used for Your glory. That's grace. And You give us a part in Your kingdom work. It's grace. Lord, I thank You for grace this morning. And I pray that this would give us a new appreciation, a new understanding, and a new enthusiasm for serving You, using the gifts and abilities that You've given us, and that our heart's desire would be to glorify and magnify Your name in this church and for the lost world to see. Lord, I don't know how You've spoken to our hearts, how You're leading us to respond, but as we have this time of decision, I pray that we would respond in obedience. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand for our time of decision?